Thank you so much for being here today. I want to certainly welcome our visitors, and thank you so much for being here. Isn't it a wonderful day to be able to come together and to worship our Lord and our God? I hope that this service today is an encouragement to you, and that you will leave here determined to be more Christ-like in your walk here on this earth. For the visitors, I'm not the regular evangelist here. George Slover is, and he's in Jamaica, and we need to remember George and those that are there with him in our thoughts and our prayers. I don't have a long lesson today, so if you're planning on getting some REM sleep, it's not going to happen. But on the flip side of the coin, we'll probably be the first one in line at Luby's. So I've chosen as a topic today, Heaven and the Garden of Eden. I really want to go to heaven. I really do. And not just because I believe that God designed me to spend eternity with Him, but because of the consequences of not seeking that home with Him. And I can tell you firsthand, as you get older, some of the pleasures of this life fade, and you find yourself longing for a home where there's complete contentment and complete happiness. A place where there's no pain and there's no sorrow. A place where all will be revealed, and a place where there's no more time constraints. And God has revealed enough about our heavenly destination to us in His holy word to make it extremely desirable to the believer. But God has also left heaven mostly unrevealed to our earthly readers of His word. Glimpses are revealed in John's revelation to us, but as we talked about and David said in class today, it's hard to explain something spiritual to somebody physical. But I think that our new home is going to be hard to understand in our now finite minds. But I believe that God has told us that we're going to want to be there with Him. And it will be worth every earthly hardship and suffering to be there with Him. But trying to explain heaven's grandeur to us is like me trying to explain to a cricket what bluebell ice cream tastes like. It's almost impossible for me to do that. But God, in His wisdom, has told us what we need to know. But we tend to try and imagine heaven as being physical, and it's not. It's spiritual. And when I think about heaven, I try to picture it as earthly, and I know some people do too, but in its appearance, but it's not, it's spiritual. It's like time. There's not going to be any time there. And in our physical realm here, it's hard to grasp what heaven's going to be like. I often find myself wondering, what has God planned for us, and what's He preparing for us? In John 14, verse 2, all the scriptures this morning will be on the slides if you would like to just look up here. In John 14, verse 2, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." You know, at one time, God prepared a heaven on earth for His sinless creation. And if you read early Genesis carefully, you'll find that God made man with all he needed to be happy and complete here on this earth. God knew exactly what man needed because man was God's creation. And it dawned on me that Eden was Adam and Eve's physical heaven. What were the things that God provided to Adam and Eve in the garden that made it a perfect place to live? Knowing what these things were could help me understand what our spiritual heaven will be like. Now, granted, our physical life here cannot compare to our spiritual life later. I know that. But there are some things that I will have in both dimensions, here on this earth and the life thereafter. I'm going to have my soul. I'm going to have my faith. And as David said this morning, our consciousness, our thoughts, in my love for God, I'm going to have my love for God too. So there are some constants that we're going to have in both realms. So today, what I want to do is briefly look at the conditions in Eden and the perfect plan that God executed to make Eden a heaven on earth for Adam and Eve. And maybe, just maybe, we can get a glimpse of what the greatest prize heaven is going to be like. The first constant that I want to talk about today is a companionship with God. You know, God was a frequent visitor to the Garden of Eden, as we see in Genesis 3, verses 8 through 9. The Bible says this, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Can you imagine what it was like conversing with God directly every single day? The answer to every one of your questions was answered in a way that only God can reveal. It's always the truth in a way that you can understand it. And the Bible tells us there are some Old Testament characters who were privileged enough to speak directly to God. And I can't help but think about Moses and Noah and Enoch, just to name a few. You know, so little is said about Enoch in the Bible, just a few verses, but so much can be gleaned from these two passages. The first passage is Genesis 5, verse 22 through 24. "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Also in Hebrews 11, verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." You know, Enoch was 365 years old, and he walked with God. And God took him because Enoch pleased him. That's a Bible superhero for you. I want to have a heart like Enoch. Enoch was such a righteous man that he pleased God with his company that God said to him this, "Come here and be with me now. I want you here with me." What a heart Enoch must have had. That's one soul that I really want to meet when I go to heaven. Somebody that I really want to look up. What a joy it must be to spend time with Enoch. You know, but Adam and Eve had the pleasure of spending time with God in the garden and having conversations with their Maker also. And we cannot go back to that kind of relationship with God now because of the introduction of sin into the world, because of the actions of Adam and Eve. But today we can have forgiveness of our sins and a relationship with God because of the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. And we know that we can bring our petitions to Him through prayer and listen to His Word. And that is how we converse with Him today until this brief life is over. That's how we get to know God and how we please Him. And you know what? There's not going to be anyone in heaven who doesn't know God, or for that fact, isn't trying to please Him. Is it your main focus in life to please God? To make God say to you, "I want you up here with me right now. I can't wait for you." You can have that fellowship with God today, but you know what? It's going to take some self-examination and some righteous self-judgment to be able to determine where we need to make changes in our lives to be able to get to that point, and also the courage to make those changes. God is looking for people who are willing to put Him first and others second and themselves third. People who are genuinely thankful and have a repentant heart and are extremely happy knowing that heaven awaits them. Do you exhibit these traits? Do you exhibit the trait of being extremely happy that heaven waits for you? Think about it. The world is drawn to happy, thankful, content servants. If you exhibit these traits, you're going to get your opportunities to teach others the good news. People will want to have what you have. And the world cannot give them what Christ has given you. Do you show the world and God every day that you're happy and content to be a child of God? Back to companionship with God. You know, closeness with God is something that's worth attaining. Closeness with God will help you refrain from sinning. You know, we always sing a song in the songbook that reminds me of the closest that the Old Testament characters must have had with God, in the condition that I want to be in with the Master. It's number 93 in the Maroon songbook. Would y'all get out your songbooks and turn to number 93? You know, sometimes a song, a hymn, just says more than I can say up here in words. I want to sing this song. I'll sing all three verses. And if it's possible for you, if you know the words to this song and your part, would you close your eyes and sing this song? It always helps me to concentrate more on the words when you close your eyes and sing this song. If you'll sing with me, please. My God and I go in the fields together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows hue. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows hue. He tells me of the years that went before me, when heavenly plans were made for me to be, when all was but a dream of dim conception, to come to life, earth's burden glory see. When all was but a dream of dim conception, to come to life, earth's burden glory see. My God and I will go for a together. We'll walk and talk as good friends should and do. This earth will pass, and with it common trifles, but God and I will go on in belief. This earth will pass, and with it common trifles, but God and I will go on in thee. But God and I will go unendingly. You know, heaven is just going to be an extension of your friendship with God here on this earth. please don't wait until you die to try and hope to start a fellowship with God. You know, someday you're going to be able to thank Jesus for everything that He's done for you. You're going to be able to thank Him in person. The second constant that I want to talk about today is fellowship and encouragement of mankind. In Genesis 2, verse 20, the Bible says this, "And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him." You know, God saw that man needed someone to keep him from being lonely. And we all need the encouragement and love that we receive from each other. There are so many areas that I see God's infinite wisdom. But one of the areas that I see as wisdom is the establishment of the local church. The benefits of the brotherhood are just too numerous to mention. It would be a whole nother lesson to start in on those. But the love and the prayers and the encouragement and the bearing one another's burdens that members give to each other is one of the greatest blessings on earth. And this local church certainly does not fall short in that department. It simply abounds here. Brethren, putting others before themselves. Now that's a godlike trait. And you know what? Heaven is not something that you're just going to fall into. It takes a conscious effort and a steadfast love of the Lord. And I want all the help that I can get to be able to go there. Don't you? I need your help. And I need to make sure that I help you. And how do I do that? By encouraging you and by being there for you and by praying for you. God did not promise us a life free of pain and sorrow and death. But God did give us our Christian fellowship here on this earth to help us. And Adam found exactly what he needed in Eve and later in his family, because that was God's plan. And God's plan today is for his believers is the church. And that's why it's so important to associate yourself with a local congregation and to dive into the work there. It should be our utmost priority when we're moving to a new community. Is there a strong local church there where we can attend? When I got out of college, Pam and I moved to Laredo, Texas. We lived there for 7 years. And sometimes on Wednesday nights, we'd go to church there. We went every Wednesday night, but on Wednesday nights, we went and we were the only ones there. And to say the least, it was very discouraging for us. We need to thank God every single day for the church. And since I have this opportunity, I get to get up here every once in a while and stand before you. I want to thank you for being the loving, helping, caring Christian family that you are. I want to thank you for that. Onward. The third constant is work to do. In Genesis 2, verse 15, God said, the Bible says this, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So God gave Adam something to do. You know, I think I would be right at home in the Garden of Eden, because I like to grow things and I like to take care of my yard. But God saw that it was important that man keep busy and have a purpose. You know, we don't have much trouble nowadays keeping busy. That's not a problem. The problem that we have is keeping busy in doing the things that are going to help us get to heaven and help others get to heaven. Keeping spiritual matters a priority is difficult in these fast-moving times. But I think you'll agree with me that doing God's work is one of the most fulfilling and gratifying things that you can do while you're here. The next constant that I want to talk about is law from God. There's always been law from God, and there always will be law from God. In Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says this, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was God's first law to man. And man was given the free will to either listen and obey God or choose not to. And Adam and Eve chose not to do it. And so is every man since Adam and Eve, except our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, man's free will continues today. And I suspect it'll continue in the next life also. The angels obviously have free will because some of them turned against God and sinned, as we see in 2 Peter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Adam and Eve chose to violate God's will. And the consequences of their sin is still felt by us today. But you know, God told us that His law is in our best interest, and it's not a burden to us. In Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, the Bible says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The last constant that I want to talk about today is the love of God. It's probably the most important constant of all. And God's love for us is so evident and so all-encompassing that it could be said it's probably the greatest blessing of all. You know, God loved Adam and Eve, and He did everything He could to make their lives complete and blissful. But He loves us the same way. And there's so many passages in the Bible that talk about God's love for us. This is one of my favorites. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7 says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ." Also, in Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I've got to put this one into John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, God's love for us is constant in this life and the next. And our love for God should be just as constant. The fellowship that we have with the Lord here on this earth will just continue in the hereafter. What a comfort that is. What a wonderful thought. That thought every day should bring a peace that passes all understanding to our heart every day of our life. And we need to thank God every day for His eternal love for each one of us. And we can show our love for God by being humble, thankful, and by doing His will. Remembering that God loves me and I love Him should put a smile on your face every day, no matter what this world throws at you. Wouldn't you agree with me that the Garden of Eden was the epitome of happiness here on this earth? God knew what it took to make the earthly man content. We have to trust and to know that God has planned our heavenly home in the same manner, a place where we can live with Him forever in total happiness and love. Now, I believe the brethren's greatest danger of losing their soul at this point in history is complacency. We live in a world where physical hardships and famine and disease are greatly diminished in comparison to 200 or 500 years ago. Our hardships today can't even compare today's past concerning just tremendous pain and hardship. The average lifespan of man right now is 80 years, almost 80 years. And you know, it wasn't very long ago, it was half of that. Not very long ago. Our dependency on God for our physical blessings is sometimes overlooked by even the most dedicated Christians. It's so easy, think about this, it's so easy to rely on myself, my own actions, for my health, for my retirement, for my everyday needs, that we forget sometimes where everything really comes from and how close we are to losing all of our possessions and all of our freedoms. You know, the economy crisis right now is enough all by itself to cause widespread panic without our trust in God that He'll take care of us. But you know, sometimes I don't think we realize how fragile this abundant lifestyle is and what it might be like to live without it. What if we were suddenly plunged into a third world economy and all of our luxuries that we've become accustomed to were taken away? What would we see happen to church attendance and to our faith? Would it grow? Would it fall off? What if we really had to pray to God every day for our daily bread? All of our money was worthless, and there was complete financial chaos. That would really test our faith, wouldn't it? We might be wishing for that heavenly home a little more fervently at that point than we do now. We need to give God our utmost thanks every day for all the blessings that He bestows on us. And remember that even though our lives now are beyond compare to any time in the past, it's not anything to compare to what heaven is going to be like for us. Spending eternity with our loving Heavenly Father, that's just something to think about. I want to thank you for listening today. And we don't ever want to leave an assembly without giving anyone here the opportunity to be able to get their lives right with God, either through baptism into Christ or by asking for the prayers of the church or for encouragement. Please don't leave this assembly today without making your heart right with God. The angels in heaven are waiting for just one soul to come forward. Please come forward now. If we can help you in any way, reach your heavenly home as we stand and sing the song.